KXNO. Ken Miller.
Oh, mama.
Trent Condon.
Score.
This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Appreciate you tuning in. Here's what's coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We will talk about the Big Ten in Iowa at the bottom of the hour with Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. His mailbag published part one was heading into the weekend, part two published this morning. So we'll talk about that, talk about there's a lot of things to get to with Scott Dockerman. Of course, signing week, signing period number two this Wednesday. And perhaps there'll be an opportunity to catch up with the, with Kirk Ferentz. We shall see. And we'll talk to Doc coming up here at 11:30. At 12:10, Nick Athan from Chiefs Insider, Primetime Sports Talk. He will be with us to recap yesterday's AFC and preview Super Bowl 57, Eagles and Chiefs. So Nick Athan and then Nick Osen, pair of Knicks in the 12 o'clock hour, 15 minutes apart. Osen, of course, covers Iowa State. Iowa State in action tonight in Lubbock, the return match that was an overwhelming, convincing victory for Iowa State earlier in the season. The return game tonight in Lubbock with no decision, at least that I've seen yet, on Caleb Grill's availability. Cross fingers for Cyclones that he's able to go. Well, Trent, good morning.
Hello.
Your thoughts? I guess we should start. Well, obviously, we got some basketball to recap, but let's start with the football and in the order that the game's played out. Couple of things. The blowout that became the Niners and the Eagles game is going to overshadow, I think, the catch that wasn't a catch early in the football game. That does not exonerate, in my opinion, Kyle Shanahan and his staff, nor the NFL, on that expedited replay, as they completely missed Devontae Smith, who didn't catch the football, knew he didn't catch the football, got up from the ground, put his fist together. Is that a signal to his Eagle teammates to get right the line of scrimmage? I didn't catch it. Something's wrong here. Hurry up. We're going to get caught. He didn't get caught. They scored a touchdown very shortly after that. Then the Niners get the ball. Brock Purdy gets hurt. And essentially the game was over at that point.
It was. And, you know, that butterfly effect, if they call that correctly, or if they get the challenge in, he doesn't get hurt.
Right. Well, yeah, true. Right. I never thought of it that way. It's probably true.
Now, we could play this for every injury, right?
Sure.
Just one little thing goes different, and
yeah,
you have those thoughts that pop in, but it happened.
Yeah.
And it played out in that fashion. It just stunk because I just wanted to see that game.
Me
I was
too.
So excited
me
for
too.
It. They were by far the class of the NFC. There wasn't a close competitor between them. It was those teams were
right,
the clear.
Right, two teams were there.
Yeah, and we just didn't get to see. We didn't get to see Brock Purdy in that environment. We didn't get to see the matchup that we were hoping for. And and as sports fans, we were robbed of that. There's nothing you
can
do.
We would get robbed later on in the day as sports fans as well. We'll get to that.
But as it pertains to the Eagles, man, they're good.
Oh.
Now, we talked throughout the week trying to find a weak spot on that roster. There just isn't.
No.
There really isn't a weak spot.
And if the officials continue to let the offensive line move a beat before the ball is snapped like Lane Johnson does every single time he's in pass pro, every time the right leg moves back and it's okay. And that's not why. I'm not bitching about the officiating. It was awful yesterday. It was terrible. But watch it. It's a thing. Yes, we were robbed of a good game yesterday, which was really unfortunate because, come on, Josh Johnson has played for how many teams when you include all the leagues? Is it over 20?
I think so, yeah. I believe that's
good
what it
God.
Is. When you talk about practice squads and training camps and things like that, along with all
the
different
whatever
places.
The league, that the godforsaken league that's going to follow the NFL when that at the end of February.
Oh, yeah, the ARF.
The ARF or whatever it is. He's been in a bunch of those. Made a lot of money holding a clipboard, being inserted periodically. But he's not going to carry this team or do anything for this team, and you saw it. Purdy forced to come back into the game when Johnson was concussed, and essentially, did he attempt one pass?
Yeah, he threw that little swing pass, little wide receiver screen out there. That was it.
That was it.
They couldn't do anything.
Nope.
Would it have been better if you just put McCaffrey in Wildcat? Maybe,
maybe.
I mean, it could have been worse. Still, How many times is McCaffrey going to throw it in that? This is the NFL.
Right.
And this is not when Ronnie Brown was surprising the Patriots
right.
when it came out of nowhere.
Well, because nobody had seen it before at that point.
And in fact, when they saw probably the injury then to Johnson, I'm sure the defensive staff got together and said, hey, if they go Wildcat, they're working on it. They're already going through the motion of figuring out what you're going to do. Yeah, you get an extra blocker in there. You can do some different things, but Christian McCaffrey's not reading defenses.
No.
It's going to be a one
as
option.
As talented
kind of
as he is.
Right. Yeah. It's just a completely different uh-huh. world. All right, so it was 31-14 if they do that. Maybe they got a drive out of it.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Nope, it didn't. Philadelphia is, well, let's go back to your original question. Where is their weakness?
They don't have one.
I don't think they do.
The 4th-and-1 play, the rugby scrum.
Oh, my
gosh. Is it time to go back to the old rules?
Where you can't help, where you can't the bush push?
Yeah. Get rid of that again.
It's unstoppable.
It is. Unless you're, what, Josh Allen?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Is it time to go back? Maybe, because it seems like it's unfair. It's a foregone conclusion.
It takes away the spirit of the game.
Yeah, you're going to pick it up every time.
Right.
Seemingly.
It's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't hate it in most instances. It's not a play that really bothers me when you're at the goal line, right? Just get the guy in, okay? But there's something about the 4th-and-1 that that bothers me mm-hmm. more. You stopped a team, you got them to 4th down, and then you're just going to do this cheater play.
Make them earn it.
Yeah.
Right.
Could you do something where inside the 5, you're allowed to push them in, but that's it? Maybe.
I don't, you know, I'm not even sure if it's on the league's radar.
Or you can't do it on 4th down?
Maybe. They got bigger fish to fry.
I saw something from, I think it was Jason Lockefora, that mentioned that this is something that the rules committee is going to look
at. Are they?
In the offseason. So, I don't know. There's no perfect way, obviously, of doing it. You can't mm-hmm. do different rules for different things. But maybe you can't do it on 4th down. How about that?
Well,
you can do it 1st, 2nd, 3rd down, but you can't do it on 4th down.
Well, it's unstoppable.
It is.
We know that much.
Yeah, Hurts was okay.
Yeah.
They had the 3 long drives mm-hmm. and didn't do much outside of that. But again, leading too much into this game, they knew they had it wrapped up. Yeah. Just don't screw it up. Were mm-hmm. they running Hurts too much late in the game? Yeah.
Maybe. I think so.
I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
A guy coming off a shoulder injury and you're still out there and he's still running around. I wouldn't be doing that. It's run it 3 times, punt it back to him because they're not doing anything.
They can't do anything. Just load the box and they're not going to be. Purdy cannot throw the football, and that was very apparent. Disappointing. Unbelievable. Remarkable run that he had. What does that mean going forward? Obviously.
Well, what's this injury?
That's just it. It could be, hearing this morning, this could be a long injury for him.
I've heard anything from Tommy John to mm-hmm. you know, something torn in there that this is going to be, he's out for 2023.
Yep.
If that's the case,
or late in 2023.
Right. Well, then they can't go into the season with him as a starter.
No.
And so you have that whole circumstance. So we have to wait and see, but the run, how the notoriety that came along with it, just how cool that was for Cyclone fans and really state of Iowa.
No, it was.
Having the Cyclone and the Hawkeye on the other side and just how much
those
fun it was.
Those two teaming up.
Two guys that are completely different, too.
No, good God. One is totally out there. The other one wouldn't open his mouth. I mean, he's just so quiet and so reserved. Mm-hmm. He's just glad to be there. And boy, San Francisco was glad that he was there. Right. Remarkable run. We don't know what the next chapter is in his career. He's certainly going to get opportunities now. I mean, whether it's with him and Lance or whether it's get ready for the circus this offseason. And that circus is number 12. Not the one in Green Bay, the one in Tampa, at least for now.
Breaking news.
What is it?
The Iowa football press conference has been set for Wednesday. Now, it is signing day,
mm-hmm.
if there is a signee. I know they're after an Indiana tight end, high school tight end. They'll talk about
him. Kind of anticlimactic, this one, isn't it?
Him and him alone.
Yeah.
Here's our signing class, because they're
any
already
questions
signed
on him, or any, what else you got?
And then it'll go into, so Brian, still around, huh?
Well, will there be any news that comes out that precedes the press conference, or will we find out during the, what time is the press conference?
3 p.m. Central Time.
Wow. 3 p.m.
All-American Room at the Hanson Football Performance Center.
So I wonder if there would be an audio feed of that.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
Hmm. Well, can't wait.
Yes.
We have to wait. We have to wait until Wednesday, but now we know that it's there's going to be, we hope, some clarity coming our direction. Not just ours, but the all of Hawkeye Nation and the media want to know, and we'll find out, maybe.
We'll find out.
Maybe.
We'll find out.
Maybe. All right, so let's go to the AFC Championship game later on. These two teams, Trent, they are so equally, evenly matched. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does was just incredible. The performance that he did essentially on one leg, it was worse than anybody thought it was going to be. It was just a gutsy performance. When he needed to run, he ran, and he did so with essentially what Valdes-Scantling,
mm-hmm.
obviously Kelsey was there, but that was it. I mean, Hardman got hurt, Juju Smith-Schuster got hurt, Tony got hurt in the football game. They were down to nothing receiver-wise. But the game, to me, as much as you want to praise Patrick Mahomes for being out there, this is the Chris Jones game. He was the difference maker in the football game, in my opinion.
Well, in the first half, completely disrupted. Second half, the Bengals are just grabbing him. Seemingly every single snap, just yeah, grabbing him.
Right.
And yes, we're going to get the officials, and there are plenty of complaints against the mm-hmm. Chiefs, but Chiefs fans just come back with, we're just holding Jones the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
All game, yes, holding happens on every play. Yep. Yes, come on. That was egregious.
They mauled him.
Every single snap. And the only time that they actually got to Burrow for a sack in the second half, they moved him outside because we're sick of the guard in the center hugging him every single play.
Well, I don't know why they didn't go up against that right. 77, my God, he had a horrible game. Starts with an A, his last name. 77, the right tackle for Cincinnati. Just awful. And it didn't matter who was lining up in front of him mm-hmm. because he was going to get pressure on Justin Burrow, which just goes to show you just how bad apparently Buffalo's pass rush is because they never laid a glove or a hand on Joe Burrow last week. And the sacks, at least early in that football game, what a difference. Chris Jones was unbelievable in that football game.
You know, that was my main talking point last week about this game is I just couldn't get over how quickly the week before the Buffalo game, the narrative, the offensive line, they're screwed. And they played well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on snow.
Yep.
Different environment. And that was just fixed. And I couldn't buy into it. And that's why I was on Kansas City. Now, was it a good bet? We can argue about that. But
what did the game close at?
I think it was 1.5.
Was it that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's see. Closing line. Let's see. We'll find it here. Closing line. 2.5.
2.5. Okay. So cover.
2.5 and 48.5 was the closing total in the game. But that's what I just couldn't get past. That, yes, they played well for a week, but we can't just get rid of that narrative. We can't just completely move past it because it's still three backups. It's still.
Right. And here comes Chris Jones and Frank Clark.
Yes. And those guys can get to the quarterback.
And did get to the quarterback.
Four sacks in the game, just mm-hmm. one in the second half. But mm-hmm.
Willie Gay was terrific.
Yes, he was. That the defense for the Chiefs, we talk about Mahomes, we talk about the offense mm-hmm. and all the fun that they are.
And their secondary was banged up, too. I mean, mm-hmm. they had a bunch of young guys back there, and yet Joe Burrow and company couldn't take advantage of that. They tried. They tried. Chase had it for his standards. He had, other than that one spectacular catch on mm-hmm. fourth down, when Tony Romo, who, by the way, we talked about this last week.
Right.
The shine's coming off Tony Romo, I think, a little bit. I don't think that's unfair to say, because he was universally loved. Nobody is, but you get my point. A lot of folks thought that this guy's the greatest that we've ever heard in the booth. That's not the case anymore with him. Chase made that remarkable play when Romo thought they're just trying to draw everybody offside. I get it. You can't get everything right in the game, but that was just one of his faux pas. But
here we go, Jim. Biggest play of the game.
Yeah. Every play, seemingly. Mm-hmm. Couldn't run the football. That's no credit to the Chiefs' defense. It backs up your point against the offensive line for Cincinnati. Patrick Mahomes on one leg, throws for 326 and a pair of touchdowns. The one to Valdes-Scantling, I have no idea how he got it in that window, but yet he did. The guy's a wizard, and this week you're going to get points. If you want to take Patrick Mahomes, really?
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling because I really liked what the Eagles. I thought the Eagles. I think are. I mean, look at they're both really good teams. I think we're in for a really competitive Super Bowl. But I've gone back and forth. Eagles, how could you beat them? That I see Patrick Mahomes. You're really going to give me points in this guy? Yes, please, all day long.
That's what makes betting fun, right?
Right. And it's tough to come up on a side. Now the play at the end of the game, which is the right call.
It was.
It's the right call. Yeah. Osai was, I mean, what's he thinking?
So it's coming down to the end. You're coming
And by the way, that didn't cost the Bengals a chance to play for the... That didn't cost them the game. It cost them a chance to win the game. Because I don't think there's any way in hell Andy Reid throws Butker on the field to drive from 60. No.
Now, there were still 8 seconds left. They could have maybe picked up eight yards. It would have been like a 54-yard.
But Mahomes was hurt. And if you remember him limping off the field, mm-hmm. and he's saying, bring the kicker on. That's how I took it. Right, he's going to the bench. He's waving his hand. Bring the kicker onto the field because I can't run another play right now. Because he got hurt being pushed out of bounds. He got hurt running the way that he did. So, to your point, maybe. But I think that they would have run on. They're not kicking from 60 yards. They're just not. No. I feel bad for Osai. He played a phenomenal football game. He was all over the field. But man, oh man, oh man, that's going to be a long offseason for this dude.
And seeing him on the sideline.
Oh, just distraught.
Yeah.
Just absolutely distraught.
Felt awful.
Weeping.
For him.
Yes, I did. I did feel awful.
You're trying to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Then you read about a story, and I get it. There's a lot of stories in the NFL. There's a lot of stories everywhere. I mean, this guy, is this family coming over from Nigeria, six of them in a one room apartment. I mean, just a phenomenal story, right? Good for you and good for your family being able to capture the American dream and take advantage of it. And, oh, by the way, one of your children gets to the NFL and he's a good player. And then to have this happen to him, just, I feel bad for him.
And then the injury on top of it.
He
hyperextends his knee, and that was gross.
It was.
After the second time seeing, I'm like, oh! Stop. Shut. Enough, CBS. I got it.
See, I didn't see it until watching the highlights later on.
Oh, yeah. That was one where Tara and I both had to turn away. Ugh. It was gross.
Yeah.
And then the third. And then the fourth time. And right. Enough. Got it. Yeah. He hyperextended his knee. Those are gross. And luckily, it was just a hyperextension because when I first saw it, I ACL.
Yeah.
Dislocated knee.
Ugh.
All kinds of things and looked like a hyperextension. But you have that. You have the injury. And then. Bucker,
45-yarder right down the middle.
And the other thing, Mahomes after the game mentioning Bucker. How many times throughout the year did we talk to Mitch Holtis and Nick Atman?
Missed extra points.
Missed extra points and missed kicks from Bucker, and he split the uprights.
It wasn't even close. Yeah, was it? It was right down the middle. Yeah, plenty of distance, right down the middle. But they don't try it from 60, and it's not good from 60. See, that's why I said at the beginning, we got robbed as sports fans. We got robbed of an opportunity to see the new playoff overtime rules in the NFL. Didn't get an opportunity to see it. They're so evenly matched, these two teams. Just remarkable, remarkable. Really good football game. All right, a couple of calls real quick. Let's get Nate first of all. Nate, welcome. Thanks for being patient, Nate. What's on your mind?
I just got to do my victory lap, Ken. This is the guy that always calls me a Chiefs fan.
Well done. Congratulations.
So I guess the problem I got is just on Facebook and stuff and all other social media stuff, just refs on that game. And I just, like you guys mentioned, they were holding Chris Jones the entire time. And the only call that impacted the score was on the Chiefs when they called that, I guess, holding. I mean, he had his arm out on the touchdown run
with
Pacheco.
Yep.
And that took 4 points off the board. Mm-hmm. And then before half, they had the same situation that the Cowboys had. They tackled, I can't remember who it was when the Bengals were going, they tackled him out of bounds going backwards. And they stopped the clock for him, saving them a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
third down and nine play, I thought it was awful at first. And then they found a shot of the official running into the field, waving his arms that the play had stopped.
And stopping.
It's no play.
Yeah. That was not, they were stopping it.
Yes, they were.
Making them use a challenge for reaching out for the first down, but the Bills don't have to challenge when Mahomes' leg was down. They did the whole referee huddle and the expedited challenge, without using the challenge. So
I will say
they,
this,
they
Nate.
Sit there and they get it. I
will say this. I don't recall seeing other than over the goal line, where a receiver sticks the ball out and they change, they overturn the call at that point, other than when it's on the goal line. When it's on the goal line, because there's cameras fixed there, you see it overturned there.
They're doing a pylon post now on the first down. If you see them when they set the first down marker, they've got a pylon camera there now.
Well, look, the officials were bad for all four teams yesterday. You could make a case that all four teams were bad. Kansas City won the football game. That's what we know. It was a terrific football game. As a football fan, I would have loved the game to go to overtime. Mm-hmm. You as a Chiefs fan, I'm guessing you loved the...
No, I would not, because it would just be the... I mean, Mahomes had nobody left to throw to.
No, he didn't. He's running off the field after Osai knocked him out of bounds, and he's waving to Andy Reid saying, come on out here, come on out here, because he couldn't answer the bell.
Everything he had. He didn't have Justin Watson either. They had to deactivate him for illness.
Yeah.
So they had five receivers down, Kelsey with a hurt back.
Yep.
I mean, just these Bengals fans, how much their mayor's going on, telling about Mahomes checking his daddy. Burrowhead, I've never switched to hating a team so fast in my life.
So, Nate, how old are you, Nate? Let me ask you this. How old a guy are you?
Getting ready to be 35.
Okay, so you might not. So I was trying to go back later on in the night, just the villains that come in there. Because Elway, I think, was clearly one of them. Then I think he was, place was taken by Roethlisberger, right? And now I think it's...
I've hated this. Now it's the Bengals.
I think it is.
I've grown up always hating the Raiders, but they're the Raiders. What are they going to do? Chargers,
right.
Chargers are going
to... Phillip Rivers was on that list. Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He always ran his mouth. But this Cincinnati team, just thinking they are... I haven't seen a team run their mouth so much, but it has not accomplished anything yet.
Yeah. Nate, thanks for the call.
Just seeing the tweets. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Good to hear from you. Jeff is next. Jeff, how are you?
Good. Let's start here. So this is the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl 3 out of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
But just to touch base on that call, they better win this year. Because if they don't, you're shining one Super Bowl out of, three or four appearances. So I understand what that caller was saying, but you better wrap it up here. But how tight the margins are, Trent kind of touched base on it early. It was 20-20 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That game could have went either way. And, you guys were talking about players the moment. I thought Sky Moore kick up
the return unbelievable.
To get them in field goal range.
Yep.
That was a huge momentum swing.
Huge.
And then when we talked since, you kind of touched up on Chase. I thought T. Higgins was unbelievable.
He was.
T. Higgins, when he caught that touchdown at the peak moment, T. Higgins, I think they were probably double up it on Chase, but they better figure out this offseason, because I think T. Higgins is due for a contract, what they're going to do. I would hope they keep T. Higgins in the future. Travis Kelce, I don't know if you guys watched after postgame. He's hilarious. Calling out the mayor of Cincinnati and calling him a jabroni and fight for your right. Loved it. Got to be a great Super Bowl. I just want to touch base on the Cyclones tonight. Tough spot. 8 p.m. tip. Don't know where. I don't know what network's got it.
ESPN2.
ESPN2. I hope they stay down. Well, I don't know if they
came. No,
back
they came home. They came back.
They apparently. Came home.
Yep.
So they're going to travel. Texas Tech's 11-10. I understand we beat them already, but if Iowa State's a tournament team, I believe they're a better team. There's no reason why. I know the line's 1.5. There is no reason why they pack their defense. They take care of business tonight on the road, and they beat Texas Tech. Am I wrong with saying that, or am I missing something there, guys?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that Texas Tech's got some dudes out too.
They're 0-8. They're just the season has gone poorly for them. There's talent on the team.
What's the transfer's name? Amok?
Yeah,
I think he's out. And you know who else has not been playing? Pop Isaacs hasn't been playing lately. Mm-hmm. So those two guys. That's two big pieces out.
So Trent, so explain to me then why Iowa State's a 1.5-point favorite then?
It just
with all that
because still analytically Texas Tech still. Tech still rates very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
And they're coming off a win. They beat their opponent, right? They beat LSU in the SEC Challenge, yes.
So it's still Texas Tech, but yeah, the numbers right now, Ken Pomeroy has a 2. Bartorvik has a 2.5. So it's just kind of a metric play more than anything. It just says that. That's why the numbers are where they are. It's not going to be easy. It's a road game.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, maybe a little confidence finally getting a win, ending that, an 8-game losing streak for Texas Tech. Maybe that gives them a little bit of confidence here. But, hey, if you're going to win a regular season crown,
you win this game.
These are the games you have to win. You have to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's ugly and if it's 58-55. It doesn't matter. Just have to find a way to get this one.
And we'll see this Texas Tech outfit on CBS on Saturday.
And
Baylor, Texas Tech.
And Ken and Trent, real quick, how about Patch McCaffrey hitting that three, hitting a couple threes in the Hawkeyes, sweeping? You talk about beating a team once. They beat Rutgers twice at home. McCaffrey, everybody stepped up yesterday for the Hawks. And again, take care of business. Beat Northwestern, and then whoever they have, Illinois on Saturday or Sunday. Take care of business at home. And again, this team's such a yo-yo. Oh, my gosh. They were fun to watch yesterday, too. Sports. Oh, you got to love sports, guys. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed, we do. Good call. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Appreciate Nate as well chiming in here. It's going to be a good Super Bowl. So, first blush, not holding you to it?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm leaning Kansas City.
Points with Mahomes?
Yeah. Got to see and probably just grab money line, get plus money here, and then kind of have that in my back pocket and go from there. I think that's what I'm going to do. I haven't fired anything yet. Got to see wide receivers.
Did you see the movement on that line when it first came out?
Well, and it just...
Instantly.
And Circa and Benson, Jeff Benson.
Yes.
He said, well, we got this one wrong.
Yes.
Said they were just... And at the time, their openers, $20,000 is their max. It goes up to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
But he said, we're just taking one bet after the other at the wrong number, apparently.
One. Yeah, couldn't get one.
We got to get Benson back on here, maybe Super Bowl week.
That's,
he's a very entertaining character.
Well,
on Twitter.
It opened at 7:08, so that's 7:08 Pacific. It was 2.5. A minute later, it was down to 1.5. Another minute later, it was 1.
So
2 minutes later, it was pick, and then boom, all of a sudden, the Eagles are favored. And this is all within a span, I've never seen this before, a span of 17 minutes. The number had moved 5 points.
So taking a 20,000 and a 20,000 and a 20,000, and
they couldn't get a bet on the Chiefs
because they were the only ones that had that number too. They were higher than the rest of the market, and the market, it always fluctuates. Most people are buying the value that they find, and that's the direction that they go.
Wow.
So going to be a fun couple of weeks here.
Well, this is Benson's tweet, and I love the fact that he's able to point the finger blame. The market disagreed and said our opener was garbage. And it was. And the market took advantage of their garbage opener, and they bet the hell out of it and moved it 5 points within 17 minutes. That is unheard of.
It is.
It's unheard of.
Especially for a Super Bowl line.
You know, I'm with you. First blush, you're going to give me points in Patrick Mahomes? Mm-hmm.
Got to see health. Kelsey, I mean, how about the steam yesterday, too?
Though he wasn't playing.
Who was it? Glazer, right?
Yes.
I mean, Glazer made it sound like he was coming out of the hospital bed to play. He looked like Travis Kelce to me.
As he always does. Right. Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes to me, as he always does. Look, some of these plays.
Yeah.
That pass to Valdes-Scantling, I mean, my good God. Unbelievable.
He's a wizard.
Yes, he is. And the line is a Chris Jones game to me. It's a Chris Jones game. But take a timeout. Scott Dockerman on Iowa. It's Miller and Condon. We're underway on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station.
Keyword.
Oh, that's right. Time for another $1,000 keyword. Go to KXNO.com. And once you get there, the pop-up box will appear, and you can enter this nationwide contest by inserting the keyword bonus. Bonus into the pop-up box at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000 bonus at KXNO.com. Scott Dockerman next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station 106.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
6.3
and 52.
Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, about 11:35. Take you until 1 o'clock. Let's get our friend Scott Dockerman in here from The Athletic. His two-part mailbag published over the weekend. If you missed the beginning of the show, it has been announced. There will be a press opportunity on Wednesday, the second signing period, where I was scheduled to sign one player, Trent?
But maybe one.
Maybe one. Maybe one. Doc, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Doc, how are you?
I'm fantastic, fellas. How about yourselves?
Doing well. You know, I want to start with you. I want to thank you. I would have missed the Zach Jackson. I believe that's your colleague's name at The Athletic. I didn't put two and two together and realize the tie between Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, and Iowa State's head coach, Matt Campbell. Quite a history between those two coaches, Doc, and I had no idea until I read the piece.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mount Union is, got a great reputation, as we know, but... You know, we've got we've probably been more like the Brock Purdy channel, you know, for the last month or so. I mean, I think there's been a story from our San Francisco people just about every day on something Brock Purdy related. So, but yeah, it was nice to see something, you know, Sirianni and you know, between him and Matt Campbell there at Mount.
Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy's become our KXNO has become the Brock Purdy station as well. Understandably so. I mean, a remarkable, remarkable story. I'm not ridiculing anybody's decision to talk about Purdy. It's been, he's moved the needle. Well, Doc, we will. I would think, well, Kirk Ferentz will, one way or another, I would think, create a lot of chatter on Wednesday after the press conference, whether anything is revealed or whether nothing is revealed. Either way, it's going to be a big talker. What do you expect, Doc, on Wednesday when you hear from Iowa's head football coach?
That's a great question, because what I think everybody would like to hear, I think there needs to be some sort of emphatic yes or no about his staff. And because it's something that you know, is pretty much eaten all of us up. You know, I'm sure you guys are tired of speculating over the last month since the bowl game and even before, and I'm certainly tired of trying to answer any kind of questions from a very feisty fan base right now. And I think he needs to be definitive. You know, if Brian Ferentz is going to return, why? And it's going to be pretty messy if that's the case. If Brian Ferentz is going to leave, and then why again? And, you know, what took you so long? But also, what is the, you know, what's the next step for the offense and everything? Because, you know, outside of that, they've had a very productive offseason. I mean, they've signed six players to the offense, and five of which look like they're probably going to start. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive for the worst statistical offense, you know, in a quarter of a century in the Big Ten, at least. So I think that's a good place to start. But when there's just this constant lingering of, you know, Brian Ferentz, it's just nothing is going to go away until that gets answered. And I know it's his son, but at some point there needs to be some accountability for the woes of the offense.
We get to Wednesday, nothing happens in the coaching front for Brian. He is still officially an Iowa coach. How does Kirk Ferentz sell this? I mean, you'll be the one writing the story. We'll be talking about it. How do you sell that if you're going to bring him back now for a seventh season when the offense has not been good during the whole tenure and has completely cratered the last 2 years? How do you sell that to a fan base that, tell you what, that home schedule next year, not exactly juicy compared to the last couple of seasons?
It's, you can't sell that. You can't sell, you know, 130th total offense a year after doubling down on, we've got great coaches here, and then you're just so much worse than you were the year before. And I mean, the year before they won a division, they were 10-4, and this year they were 8-5 with the nation's best defense, and they couldn't do anything with it. They lost two games when they allowed 10 points or less. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So you can't sell that. And I know that's something that, you know, I mean, hearing a lot of whispers and stuff, it's not all roses and ice cream, you know, among everybody in the athletics department, because how is Gary Bartus supposed to sell that? I mean, football is the breadwinner. It's the moneymaker for the athletic department, and there will be a lot of people. I mean, last time when people started to feel on the other side, you know, there was a 17% drop in season tickets going into 2015. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this is the same case now, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it's up to 1/3 drop their season tickets. Not to say they won't go to a game, mm-hmm. but you cannot have that happen if you're Iowa, because you get them. Season tickets are so much different than single games. So if you have employed Brian Ferentz in the current role without any changes, I mean, good luck. And you know, trying to even justify it, you know, I could spin something, or I could discuss something in a way where, hey, Brian Ferentz isn't that bad of a coach, but, you know, there are a lot of really good coaches in the NFL who get fired all the time. And Brian could be a really good coach, but the results don't show that.
One other thing on this press conference. If, again, there is not a coaching change, if we don't have any news before that and it's going to be status quo, does Gary Barta need to be there to answer questions since Brian Ferentz, he is his superior?
Absolutely. I think if it's going to be status quo, he's going to have to try to justify that, because again, you know, he's, you know, they're the longest tenured athletic director coach tandem in the country. He's fifth overall, and you know, right behind Jamie Pollard in tenure himself. And you need to answer those questions, because you need to try to convince a very skeptical and mostly and now cynical public about your offense that, yes, you should still continue to buy tickets to this team. I mean, they're still a great program. I mean, overall, they're winning at a level that most people would really envy. And an 8-5 season that I think some programs would take in a heartbeat, you know, was a down year for them. There's a lot of things you can discuss. But without that offense getting retooled, you know, in the play calling and just having a different leader, I think that you're going to have all hands on deck, or otherwise this thing's going to spin out of control, and you're going to have, you know, 40,000 people at Kinnick Stadium for the season opener.
And I knew that about the longevity between Bard and Ferentz and where they rank because I read the article in today's Athletic Doc this morning. So thank you for that. The part one of your two-part mailbag, there's a question in there that I thought was a really good question, and it's a really good debate question, too, when it comes to Cooper DeJean and where he may rank when it's all said and done for him amongst the best cornerbacks. And, you know, when you take a look at the list that you compiled, first of all, just jumped, they had some dudes back there over the Ferentz era, and that's just cornerbacks. That's not talking safeties, Doc. That's what jumped off to me, just some of the names that have played at the University of Fort Kirk Ferentz. Not where, you know, you can rank them and everybody's going to be a little bit different. And Cooper DeJean clearly is going to be part of that conversation. But, man, they had some players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you look at since 2009, I mean, no team in the Big Ten has had more first-team all-conference defensive backs, and no team's had more consensus all-conference defensive backs. And that's a credit to Phil Parker, because when you're taking guys like Riley Moss, you know, who was a gray shirt initially, and the list goes on and on and on and on, you know, from then, you know, just – you know, Mari Spivey, who was a two-star, and you know, Micah Hyde, who was, you know, 168-pound quarterback in high school and turned him into, you know, a longtime NFL player. I mean, he has done a remarkable job. I don't think there's anybody better, and I am really still, I'm kind of dismayed that he hasn't, you know, won the Broyles Award, because I think what he was able to do this year, I mean, you think about the statistics Iowa's defense put up, you know, number one in stop rate percentage and yards per play allowed, which is tied for the best over the last, 10-plus years. And he didn't even have to play his own offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, Iowa, if Iowa's defense played its own offense, I mean, they probably have negative yards this year. So, you know, it's just ridiculous, because, I mean, Illinois had that benefit. Yeah. Michigan had that benefit. But Iowa didn't. So I think, you know, yeah, you look at all those dudes, and it's pretty remarkable. But I'll say this. But I think Cooper DeJean may be the most talented of the bunch. And it's hard for me to get past Desmond King for a lot of reasons, but I think Cooper DeJean is more talented than Desmond King. And I think he's got first-round, Pro Bowl, potential All-Pro capability to him once he goes to the next level.
So, Portal Kirk strikes again. Rusty Feth, the offensive lineman from Miami of Ohio, played center the last 2 years. We saw Logan Jones struggle snapping the football at times this year. He's a young guy, possibility also of a guard. What have you heard about Rusty Feth? And, boy, he just looks like an offensive lineman, doesn't he? Marty, the balding hair, the big beard. He looks like he's going to fit right into the middle of that offensive line.
If there's any team in America that could use a Rusty, it's Iowa. You know, just name and the way he looks. I mean, I'm sure Ferentz will slip up and call him Marshall for Marshall Yonda, because he kind of has that look to him too. But, you know, I'm not suggesting he plays like Marshall Yonda. That's a different animal altogether. But I do think, you know, it's a position of need. It's one that they could have really used. And then it's the perfect Iowa move. I mean, George Barnett coached him for 2 years when he was a guard at Miami of Ohio, and then Barnett moves to Iowa. He opens up. He's available. You know, and I think his position flexibility is really, you know, helpful. I thought Logan Jones got better as the year went on. I mean, the snap issue has to end. There's no doubt about that. But if Rusty Feth fits in as a guard, great. If he's a center, great. You know, it doesn't really matter. I think, you know, they've got enough guys that I think, you know, the cream is going to rise to the top among the younger players. So, but I think he's a plug and play. I think, you know, with Parker, they want Parker. I think he's got more of a, you know, he's got the starter kit that you're looking for, but you're just not sure because it is a big jump. But I think, you know, Rusty Feth is kind of like Jeff Heflin a few years ago. Mm. Plug play. He's going to start, and you're probably not going to have to worry about him. Maybe a bigger version of, you know, Kyler Schott or somebody like that. I think that's exactly what Iowa needs right now.
Are they done, do you think, Doc, in the portal?
No, they're not done. I mean, you know, they had Nick Jackson, a linebacker, a two-time second-team All-ACC linebacker on campus this weekend. They are looking at wide receivers, and then they also are, just continuing to scour the portal. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, when the second part of the portal season opens up after May, just depending on school, after, practice and stuff. I mean, you know, they're looking at defensive backs. They are not done. You know, so six offensive upgrades. I think does a lot, but they're still not done.
I get the sense that Nebraska fans are a little feisty about what Rule's doing over there in a good way. They're coming out, Doc. They were starting to hear from him a little bit more. They haven't done anything over the last decade or something, but boy, oh boy, they are puffing out their chests already, aren't they?
It's frustrating to me because I think I try to use like a soft example, you know, just to say that they are starting from scratch. And I thought, well, that's perfect for what, you know, for a program that, you know, is 13th in Big Ten wins since 2017, that is the only Power 5 program to not make a bowl over the last 6 years, that they won a new culture change and not Scott Frost. But, yeah, they took it hard. I mean, you know, you even think about Nebraska hasn't even, last year they had two players, only two, make any of the Big Ten's all-conference, three conference teams. Both of them are off to the NFL. They don't have anything there. Yet they seem to think, because they beat Iowa and almost beat Wisconsin, that they're slighted by not being considered among the favorites. And it's like, you got to win more than two games the last 2 years against Big Ten West competition before you even considered here. But, you know, they just do not want to take a backseat to Iowa in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
Until they do, until they prove it, you know, I'm not going to put them in that category. They just haven't earned it.
I get the sense that maybe Iowa's more of a – Nebraska sees Iowa as more of a rival than Iowa sees Nebraska, because there's so many choices for Iowa. I'm not sure there is for Nebraska.
No question. It is. I mean, you talk to the players and even, you know, some of the coaches, and they view teams that maybe Nebraska wouldn't even think about, like a Penn State, because they played them so many years in a row, and they're all really close games. And more of a rival. Illinois and Northwestern. I mean, Nebraska's, you know, the fifth farthest Big Ten West campus to Iowa. There's really nothing in common other than, you know, the Missouri border bordering it. I mean, you know, they have a history with Minnesota. The in-state situation with Iowa State makes it a very feisty rivalry. Yeah. Wisconsin's close. They play them all the time close. Northwestern, they get a lot of students from the Chicagoland area. Illinois, of course, as well. I mean, it's just, you know, until Nebraska really starts to assert its Nebraskaness on the Big Ten, there's just really no reason for Iowa to look at them beyond just another team in the league. Now, they could go and beat Iowa five straight years and, you know, rule the region, you know, rule with an H, and everybody's going to be like, oh, you're the best again. But until they do it, you know, it's been since 1999 since they won a conference title. I mean, it's not the same program it once was.
Scott Docterman from The Athletic. Doc, anything you'd like to promote coming up this week? Obviously, you'll have a ton of coverage on Wednesday and into Thursday. Anything else?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a lot of the Iowa stuff right now, Iowa football, because we'll know a lot on Wednesday. I think we're going to get some answers, and it might be the time for the, quote, tough questions to come out, and so everybody can be excited about that, to grade what kind of tough questions are asked by the Iowa friendly media.
There'll be a lot of members of citizens of the state listening and around the country as well. Good stuff. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a week. Thank you, Scott Docterman.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep,
appreciate it.
Yep, good to talk to Scott Docterman, our friend from The Athletic. All right, we'll come back, wrap up hour number one. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.net.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, final couple of minutes here, hour number one. Nick Athan, Nick Olsen in hour number two on the Chiefs and the Cyclones in that order. So no Tucker DeVries yesterday. Mm-hmm. On the road, the Bulldogs go to take on Belmont, who was sitting in second place in the Valley. Tough spot, you'd think. Boy, oh boy, they pounded Belmont yesterday. Pounded them.
The veterans on that squad, they played a lot of basketball.
Well, there's a bunch of them there.
Before Tucker got there, too.
That's a good point.
And know each other incredibly well. Mm-hmm. Veteran presence, easy to kind of pick things up when that happened. In fact, when I heard the injury news, I was already on Drake, and I liked it a little bit more. It wasn't one of those spots where...
Did it change the point spread at all?
It moved a point, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it was around to pick them, and that's where it was. So not a whole lot of movement there, even with the news of Tucker DeVries. And it was just because of that, just knowing These guys have been around for a long time. And, you know, coming into that circumstance, you come into a veteran team. You think of Tucker a year ago, what he was able to do, and trying to acclimate yourself and, you know, fit in, right, with a bunch of veterans.
Fit in pretty well.
And how difficult I'm sure that was at times for Darren, trying to, hey, this guy's really talented. And the players know that.
Sure. I mean,
they know how talented he is. But a late game situation, you go back to the game previous, drawing things up for your son late in the game. Mm-hmm. And then there's an extra layer there, but I really believe that they were going to be fine here, and they're still in the mix, right?
Oh, what's a game out now? What's Southern Illinois 9-3 and then 8-4 for Belmont and Drake?
Yes, yeah, that's what the numbers shape up right now. So you have SIU and Belmont are both 9-3.
Okay,
8-4 for Drake, UNI, and Bradley.
And by the way, UNI Drake play Wednesday night at the Knapp.
That'll be a fun one.
Boy, also, I wonder if there's real TV on that, you know?
Let's hope we get a CBS Sports Network.
Or you know what? Or 665, it pops up on there every now and then on NBC Sports Chicago. Yeah, two in-state teams love to be able to see that one on the TV, and we shall see. But yeah, Knapp Center on Wednesday night, if you're looking for something to do.
It's an 8 o'clock tip, so I'm going to anticipate
TV
that there will be
because it's not 7,
right?
And 7 usually means it's on internet feed only type of game. Fingers crossed should be a good one. Both teams having terrific years. Mm-hmm. The Panthers seemingly are the team that's fooling everybody with the year they've put together in a positive way
and kind of let one slip away. It is ESPN Plus. Kind of surprised by that. It is a plus game, but maybe
damn
we'll
it.
Have Kevin Laban on the call.
Okay.
And we'll have to get Kevin on again this weekend, preview or recap the matchup with him. Should be a fun one at the Knapp Center, and then they quickly turn around again, and they face off then on February 15th, just 2 weeks later.
It is the MVC Game of the Week, Bally Sports Midwest. Thank you, Mike Mahon.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Television on that. So Bally Sports Midwest, that's 668? No, that's north.
671.
671. There you go. Right. 671, the St. Louis Cardinals station. Well, that's where they air.
And they have their new broadcast team.
Yeah, thankfully, indeed. All right, thank you, Mike, for that information. It is, there will be television of the In-State Valley matchup, the first of two regular season games, Panthers and the Bulldogs on Wednesday night at 8. Nick Athan in 10 minutes, Nick Olson in 30 minutes. Miller and Condon will be back with hour number 2 on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.